I think one of the blessings that we receive from studying the Psalms of Lament is that we learn that we can speak to God about anything, just absolutely anything. Pain and suffering, and we call on God to take it away. Our wicked enemies, Lord, do whatever it takes to stop them so they can't do harm anymore. Our sin, Lord, I'm so sorry. Look what I've done. Please forgive. The lament psalms give us words with which to speak to God with that message. Our doubts, I don't even know what to think about you right now, God. But I want you to understand that. The chaos of life, we sang it a minute ago, save me, the water is over my head. And even our frustrations with God himself. I have been crying out to you. Why haven't you helped me? The Psalms of Lament give us ways to speak to God about anything. In fact, in the Psalms of Lament, God himself invites his children to speak to him about literally everything, always with whatever faith and respect we can manage. And God accepts these kinds of prayers because they come from people who are seeking him. So we've been studying the Psalms of Lament for several weeks now, and we'll wrap up our study of the Psalms of Lament next week with a lesson on what comes after lament, which is giving thanks. Faithful lament always expects God to act and to help, and when he does, whether he helps the way we wanted him to or in some other way, we give him thanks. And so we'll wrap up this series on the Psalms of Lament next week. And I appreciate your patience. The Psalms of Lament are a tough group of texts to work from. But I appreciate your patience, and I hope that it's been enriching. Today I'd like us to study one more difficult topic from the Psalms of Lament. How they teach us to speak to God about the problem of death. And there are two approaches to this topic. One is to ask, how do we speak to God about the death of a loved one, or a friend, or maybe somebody who is important to our community, a soldier who died defending our country, or a fireman who is killed trying to protect lives? How do we speak to God about someone else who's died and that really touched our hearts? And on that question, I'd just like to take just a second and give a little addendum to last week's lesson on when God weeps. God weeps with us when we hurt. He understands the pain of this life. Jesus wept with Lazarus, Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, when Lazarus had died. And in John 11, both of them told Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And it's kind of like they were saying, you could have kept this from happening. And it's like if we were to say to God, God, you could have stopped this. We trust your wisdom, but why did you let this person die? We don't understand. And we don't always have an answer to why God lets this happen. We only know that just as Jesus wept over Lazarus' death, so our God also grieves with us when we lose someone we love, or who was serving to protect others, or who was taken from us too young. Jesus' heart went out to that widow who had lost her only son in Luke 7. God understands our pain. And even if the great resurrection he has promised hasn't come yet, his heart still goes out to us. And so we know that we can pray to him in great sorrow or in anger or in whatever we're feeling when we've lost someone. And he understands that. And he gives us a peace that no one else can to comfort us. And so last week's lesson is helpful for speaking to God about the death of someone else. But there's another approach to this question. How do we speak to God about death? And the other approach is when we need to speak to God about mortality, our own and everyone else's. And that's hard for us. We don't like to think too much about the reality of death. It's not good for us to dwell on it too much. But the fact is, until Jesus comes again, everyone dies. And then there's eternal life for those who follow Jesus. And that promise, guaranteed by his own resurrection from the dead, gives us great hope. But it doesn't eliminate the burden we feel when we look ahead and realize we are all mortal in the end. And we can only guess how many days we have remaining. Even Jesus himself, when faced with his own mortality, and of course the suffering that came with it in his case, wept in the garden and pleaded with God to give him some way to avoid having to drink the cup of death. And on the cross, as we read last week, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus himself grieved in the face of his own death, even though he knew God was going to raise him from death to life again very soon. So I think it's okay if we find it hard to feel at peace when we think about mortality. And if it's hard for us to talk to God about it, that's okay. But we do need to talk to God about it. Our God loves us so much that he has called us into the kind of relationship with him where we really can talk with him about anything, absolutely anything. And I think talking with God about death may generally get a little easier as we get older, because the aging process persuades us that we too really are mortal, just like everyone else. And we need to confer with God about what's happening to us and what we're facing as death approaches. But that doesn't make it easy. Just maybe easier a little bit. And still not comfortable. But Scripture gives us some examples in the Psalms of Lament to help us speak to God about our mortality. So this morning I'd like us to look at three psalms that cry out to God about the problem of death. We'll spend most of our time in Psalm 90, but we'll pull a couple of bits from Psalm 39 and Psalm 71 also. And I'd like to ask the writers of these psalms two questions. First, how do we cry out to God about the burden that death places upon us human beings? It's a difficult burden to bear. How do we express that to God? And then second, when we speak to God about death, what should we ask him for? And so we'll ask these two questions of Psalm 90 and a little bit in Psalm 39, Psalm 71 this morning. So let's start with that first question and read Psalm 90. And this is what Psalm 90 says. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years, or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Our first question for Psalm 90 is simply, how do we cry out to God about the burden that death places upon us mortal human beings? How do we do this? The Psalms of Lament never hide from what hurts us, but rather they gather it all up and they pick it up and place it all before the throne of God, and they ask Him, they plead with Him to help us. How do we do this with the problem of death? How do we take it and place it before the throne of God? Psalm 90 gives us three steps that we can use in the process as we place the problem of death before the throne of God. It begins by acknowledging that God Himself is eternal, and He is eternally trustworthy. So in verse 1, the writer says, "The Lord has been our dwelling place throughout all generations." He has always been there for us. He has always been faithful, and we understand this. In verse 2, "The Lord is eternal. He's been around since before the mountains were born or the world was formed." And so as we speak to God about death, we begin by saying, "God, first of all, we trust You. You have always been there for us, and You always will be." And we understand that doesn't mean that we're not going to have trouble in this life, obviously including death. It just means that we trust God in spite of our troubles, including death. And then Psalm 90 next acknowledges the history behind death and its connection with the problem of sin. So in verse 3 it says, "You, God, turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.'" That's a clear reference to Genesis chapter 3, the story where Adam and Eve have eaten from the tree about which God has said, "When you eat of it, you will certainly die." And they did eat from that tree. And God told them, "You will return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." And that was the day when death became a part of human existence. And so in verse 4, "For God, 1,000 years may be like a day that has just gone by, like yesterday, or like a watch in the night, a guard's watch on duty during the night, maybe 2 to 4 hours. No big deal to God. 1,000 years just goes by real quickly for Him. No big deal. But verses 5 and 6, "We human beings are swept away by death very quickly, like new grass that springs up green in the morning, but then withers in the midday sun. God may be eternal, but our lives are very short." And the reason is that we, like our ancestors, have sinned against God. We were created by Him to embody His image here on earth in perfect goodness and holiness, but we have corrupted His image within us by our sin. As Romans 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death," reflecting what we learned from Genesis 3. And so we acknowledge this to God. We understand that death is a part of human existence because of human sin, including ours personally. We understand the reason for death. We understand that God is eternal. We understand the reason for death. But even with that information, this still hurts. And this is the third step Psalm 90 models for us as we lament to God about the burden of death. God is eternal, and we trust Him. And we understand why death is part of our reality, that it's accountability for human sin. We get that. But God, we need You to understand how much this hurts. So verse 7, "We are consumed by Your anger and terrified by Your indignation." We know You're angry over sin, but this is a hard punishment for us to bear. In verses 9 and 10, all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. We might live 70 or 80 years if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, and then we're gone. All during our brief years, we live under the shadow of death, and then it comes, and we're gone. Lord God, this is hard for us. And Psalm 90 models that it is okay for us to say that to God. We'll pull just a few bits from Psalm 39 and Psalm 71. Psalm 39, verse 5 puts it this way. You have made my days a mere handbreadth, which is the distance across the face of your hand. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Lord, we are but a breath. Even at our best, we have no security in this life. We hope for a good long life, but like a breath, we could be gone tomorrow. And we just need you to understand how difficult this is for us. Death is not our friend. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26 calls death our enemy and says that God is going to destroy death in the end. But in the meantime, the way we begin to speak to God about our mortality is to say to Him, we trust you. You are eternal and you are eternally trustworthy, and we acknowledge that. We understand the connection between human death and sin, and we accept it. But God, this hurts. Every lament psalm has a complaint that it lifts up to the throne of God. That's what makes it a lament. And ours, when we talk about death, is, Lord God, this is so hard for us. This is a terrible burden to bear, to live out our lives knowing what has to happen at the end. Now, the Psalms were all written before Jesus. And so they don't talk much about resurrection and eternal life, although there are just a few hints of resurrection and eternal life there in the Psalms. But they're not very common in there. And our knowing about eternal life through Jesus for those who follow Him really helps us. It gives us hope. It encourages us to look beyond the threshold of death to what God has promised His people on the other side. It helps us a lot, but even so, facing death is really hard for us. And so we lift that message up to God. And then the Lament Psalms, after they have placed their complaint at the throne of God, always, or nearly always, make a request of Him. God, here's my situation. Now, here's what I need. So our second question for the Psalms that deal with mortality is, when we speak to God about death, what should we ask for? And it doesn't seem appropriate to ask Him for what I want to ask Him for the obvious. God, could you just take this away? Could you just skip us and let us not die? And that doesn't seem appropriate. We've sinned too, just like Adam and Eve did. Why should everyone else across the span of human existence, even Jesus, who was without sin, have to die? But we don't have to. So it doesn't seem right to ask for that. Although I think it is appropriate to pray that Jesus comes soon. Maybe even before we pass away. Maybe that's okay. Scripture says that some Christians will still be alive when Jesus comes again. 1 Thessalonians 4. Lord, let that be us. That would be great. So maybe it's okay to pray for that. What else should we ask God for? There are five kinds of requests offered up in the Psalms that deal with mortality that we're looking at this morning. Four of them are in Psalm 90, and then we'll pull one from Psalm 71. So this is the first request that we just read in Psalm 90. It amounts to, give us wisdom to realize that we don't live forever. And then to live in a way that pleases God in the time we have. So Psalm 90, verses 11 and 12. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath, over sin that is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. As human beings, we often don't connect our own mortality with our sin against God. We forget the story of Genesis 3. We need God to give us the wisdom to understand the fear, the reverence that is due to God as our Creator, and how seriously He takes human sin, so that we will number our days, recognizing that our lives are short, and live in a way that pleases God in the time that we have left. Psalm 39, verse 6 says, "Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom, gone very quickly. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." This is a similar idea out of Psalm 39. Everyone spends their whole lives pursuing wealth, even though in the end we can't keep it. And what a shame if we live our whole lives for things that we must lose at the end. And we come to the end and find that we have nothing left to carry with us. But now, Lord, the writer says, what do I look for? What am I living for? My hope is in you. Not in wealth, not in pleasures, not in a quest for eternal good health, not in prestige, not in pride. My hope is in you. Because in the end, all that matters in this life is our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. If we can help each other grow in our relationship with God. These are the only things in this world that continue into eternity. And so they are all that really matters. All that's worth living for. And so the first request that we lift up to God as we speak to Him about death is, Lord, give us the wisdom to realize we don't live forever. And then to live well in a way that pleases God in the time that we have. The second request is, Lord, have mercy on us mortals. Psalm 90, verse 13 says, "Relent, Lord," or your translation might say, "Return," or "Turn. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants. Have mercy on us, Lord. We live beneath the burden of mortality every day of our lives. So have compassion on us. Ease our burden a little bit. Don't condemn us to live our brief lives in constant sorrow. But give us your unfailing love so we can sing for joy and be glad while we're on this earth. Make us glad for as much time as we have seen trouble. Even things out for us. Let your deeds be shown to your servants, because what God does is good and it blesses our short lives. Let us see, Lord, what you do. Psalm 39, verse 12 says, "Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me, that I may enjoy life again before I depart and am no more." Lord, don't be so strict with me that you're always watching me all the time to see if I do something wrong, if I sin against you again, and then I'll be punished. But look away from me. Let me relax and enjoy life again. Don't you hate it when a police officer pulls up behind you and just drives behind you for miles down the road? Oh, it's so frustrating. Same thing here. We ask God, just don't look at me for a little while. Turn and go down a different road. Let me just drive for a little bit. I'm not going to be perfect, but don't watch me so closely, please. The Lord knows that mortality is a hard burden for us to bear. And through Jesus, He will take it away one day. But in the meantime, We call on him to bless our days, to have mercy on us, to go easy on us sometimes, to give us joy, to let us be glad in the days that we have on this earth. Lord, have mercy on us mortals, our second request. Our third request out of Psalm 90 is, God, bless our children. Psalm 90, verse 16 says, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. As we face our own mortality, we think not only of what we need, but also of what our children need. And they need to know the glory of God just like we do, to give them hope and direction in this short life. Psalm 71, verse 18, our first bit to draw from Psalm 71 here, says, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Lord, we need you to take care of us at least long enough for us to teach the next generation about you so they can know you. Our concern is not only for ourselves, as we recognize that one day we won't be here anymore. It's also for the people who will come after us. God, bless our children. Let them know you. And the fourth request from Psalm 90 is, bless our work. Psalm 90 closes with verse 17. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We are only here a short time, and then we're gone. All the things that we work so hard at, all our effort, all our stress and strain, doesn't even matter. We might ask this after a long day's work. Lord, I'm getting close to retirement. Has what I've spent my career and my day-to-day doing really been worthwhile? Lord, I worked so hard to raise my kids. I worked so hard to be a good friend to the people I love. I worked so hard to be a blessing to our community in some way. Is what I'm doing really making a difference? We want the things that we do to live longer than we do, to make some kind of good and lasting impact on the lives of others, to do some kind of eternal good, something that God will be pleased with when we stand before his throne for judgment. So we ask God to bless our work. Help us do those things that really are important in this life so that God may be pleased and so that we may leave a blessing that outlives us. And then the fifth request is, don't leave me when I'm old. This one doesn't come up in Psalm 90, but it comes up twice in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 5. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. The writer reflects here on God's dependability over the years, ever since the writer was young, even from the time he was born. And now, as he's growing older, he says to God, don't leave me now. As I grow old and my strength is gone, don't forget me. Again, he writes in verse 17, since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. When I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. God, you've taught me since I was young. When I am old and gray, don't leave me, not until I teach the next generation about you. As we grow older and the body gets weaker, and we begin to face our mortality more directly than when we were young, it's fitting to say to God, don't leave me now. Stay with me. Continue to help me. We need God as much when we're older as we do when we're young. And God is faithful. Our bodies may fail us, but our God does not. So how do we cry out to God with the Psalms of Lament about the burden that death places upon us human beings? We need some way to speak to God about our mortality because we need to know that He understands and we need His help. And so we acknowledge that God is eternal and that we trust Him. We acknowledge that death is a part of our reality because it's accountability for human sin. We understand that and we accept it. But we also cry out to God to understand how much this hurts. Death is a heavy burden to bear. But when we cry out to God, He can help us with that burden. And what do we ask God for? God, give us the wisdom to realize we don't live forever, and therefore to live in a way that pleases our Creator. God, have mercy on us mortals. Give us some joy in our few days. Lord, bless our children. And when we're gone, and even now, take care of the next generation. Lord, bless our efforts. We work so hard. Make it worthwhile. Give us work and a purpose that will last. Establish the work of our hands. And Lord God, when I am old, don't leave me. From our birth to our death, You are the God on whom we depend. And so we bring our lament over the problem of death to the throne of God. And we bring our requests before Him so that we can have some hope, some joy, some purpose in our brief lives before we're taken away. And if nothing else, speaking to God like this gives us some hope. Some hope that God has taught us to pray about the problem of death like this, specifically so that we may know that He understands. And that He will guide and encourage us. And He will watch over the next generation. And when we come near the end, He will not leave us. Because God is faithful. He who brought death into human life to hold us accountable for our sin will also one day take death away. And in the meantime, He helps us. He helps us to bear that burden as we live under death's shadow. May God, who never abandons His people but daily renews our hope, be praised. May He speed the day when Jesus will come again to destroy death and to give His people eternal life. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father, we just want to acknowledge to You directly what we've been saying here out of Psalm 90 and some of the other Psalms, that this is a hard burden for us to bear. And many of us have come face to face with it from time to time. Sometimes face to face with our own mortality. We trust in You. You have been good to us. You have loved us, and we have felt and experienced Your love over and over again through the years. But this is a hard burden for us, Lord. Help us to bear it. Help the people You love, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us joy in our days. Bless our children, O God. Watch over them and help them. Establish the work of our hands. Help us to do the things that to You are most important, and then bless them, Lord, and give us success in those. And Father, if we live long enough, we grow old and our hair turns gray or white or just leaves us completely, and the body grows weak, Father, keep our eyes focused on You. Help us not to despair, but continue to renew our hope in You. And Lord, don't leave us then. Don't leave us then. We don't need You less when we're older than we do when we're younger. Be with us and be close to us, Lord. Father, we do trust in You. and how we yearn for that day when Jesus will come again. And we do pray that it would be in our time, but if it's not, we know that'll be okay. But bring him, Lord. Speed the day when Jesus comes again and brings your people into eternal life. Help us in the meantime, Lord, to do the work to which you've called us, to live for you, and to help draw others to you as well, so that they may share in the hope that we have. Father, we praise you. You are the creator of life, and you will recreate again. You will make everything new one day. How we look forward to that day. Watch over us in the meantime. In Jesus' name, amen.